Talking all things NHL with Reiner Schog from TSN. Schogger, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys out there? I hear the weather turned for you.
It's great. We had a little snow. It's all gone in a day. Now it's perfect. Going to get a little rain tomorrow, and then everything will be green by Thursday. Be awesome. So, can't
perfect.
Wait. Perfect. John Cooper. I'll say one thing. For a losing coach, he's having a lot of fun. He's trying to, you know, lighten things up. He's had some very witty comebacks in his press conferences. Today he interviews Steven Stamkos. I guess he's got nothing to lose right now when, you know, they can't get any breaks. They also, you know, without Ben Bishop, they're a pretty average team.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. We talked a little bit about it with Dave Reed and Greg today, just about, you know, how what you think of them being this way and doing these things and saying these things. And it's kind of interesting, you know, like down 3-0, I can understand. You don't want to be all doom and gloom, and you don't want to be all crash and burn. But at the same time, I don't know, like the sense of urgency and the, I'm not sure. I don't know how I felt about it. It was a little bit awkward. He was trying to be playful. But it's 2 days in a row now where I've been left with the feeling that, I've just questioned how much of a feel he has for it. First time through playoff hockey here. The comment he made yesterday about the Canadians and their history of never having, I'm sure they've never been up 2-0 and blown it before. Just a couple of things that have kind of caught me a little bit wrong about this guy and the way he's going about his business. Seems like a real nice guy and he's decent to deal with, but just I question the feel he has for it.
Yeah, I don't know. Something tells me, you know, this is a guy who was nominated for Coach of the Year by many people at the start of the season, so.
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying he's not a good coach. Obviously, he got 100 points out of that group, and they've been through all kinds of adversity, and hey, maybe that's the way they've done it, is by keeping loose and by this kind of an attitude about things. So, you know, that might be the case, but we'll see. I mean, his team's down 3-0, and his goaltender has been okay. Wasn't the reason they lost the last game. So he's going to have to pull some magic out of his hat here, and we'll see what he can get done.
Oh, there's no magic in his hat. Series is over. Let's not kid ourselves. They're not winning 4 straight.
Well, I know, but I mean, even to extend it, even to just put up a fight.
Sure.
Even for them to not roll over, you know?
Now Montreal, they sweep or finish in 5. They'll have a little extra time. Does PK Subban and the Habs get a contract? Like, I think they're getting a contract done no matter what. Do you think it gets done before the July 1st? Do you think there's any chance they have some announcement during the playoffs at all?
I don't know. I don't know if they would negotiate during the playoffs. I don't know. I'm not really tapped into PK and his people. So, I mean, I think they're going to get him done. I think that it's his play in this series has been outstanding. He's been so good in this series. I think he's game by game. He's erasing doubts as to whether he knows, understands the subtleties of when to go and when to stay and how to play it safe when you need to. He's been so good in this series. So I think they absolutely want to get something done. I'm not sure if with the caliber of deal they're going to have to get done with him. I don't know if you knock that off during the playoffs or not.
Does he get, what does he get for you? 7 mil, 7.5?
Yeah, probably in that range, especially if he continues to perform like this in the playoffs. He's got to be right up there, depending on how many years you give him. I think so. He's got to be among the highest paid defensemen in the league once that deal gets done. And so it wouldn't surprise me if he's up in that range. It's a lot of money, but he is an elite defenseman. He is. So that's what you pay for your number one defenseman, although some might argue that Markov was their number one defenseman most of the year.
Yeah, Markov's good. You know, I Subban to me is their number one defenseman. He does everything.
Yeah.
I've always been a big fan of Subban. I'd take him on my team in a heartbeat. And you got a guy who plays that way. Can beat you physically if you have to. He can obviously produce points. Made a great play on the Gallagher goal.
Oh.
You know, he's an outstanding player. There's nothing not to like about his game.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, is that heading into the postseason, I mean, Michel Therrien had kind of had his thumb on PK a little bit, cut his minutes down a little bit, and was sort of, it's almost like he was trying to whip him into shape for the playoffs. And I think the message was delivered because if you talk to people who cover this team every single game, they'll tell you that risks that Subban would have taken late in the season, risks that he was taking, kind of set them aside, making better decisions of when to go, when not to go, keeping it simple a lot more. So PK, it almost seems like message was delivered. Therrien has backed off of PK. He doesn't have him on such a short leash. But at the same time, PK, I think, has earned that by taking some of the risk factor out of his game. And if these two can get along, that's nothing but good for the Canadians because this is their franchise guy.
Ryan Schaug from TSN joins us. What did you think of the explanation on the no goal?
Yeah, well, I mean, the officials can always point to the letter of the law and how the law reads or the rule reads. And the problem is common sense should be allowed to override rules. I mean, rules can only cover so many bases, and common sense needs to have a place. Problem is, common sense doesn't have a place when there's no replay, when all it is one quick split-second look at it for a ref, and he's got to make a call. So in that split-second decision, the ref made a call. He says he still thinks he made the right call. That's what he told the coaches after he got a chance to look at it. But common sense needs to prevail, and common sense on that play says PK Subban got in the way of Killorn. Killorn couldn't get out of the crease. Price moved across, initiated the contact, and that contact had nothing to do with Price not being able to make the save. All that evidence should add up to good goal. But common sense isn't allowed to rule the day because those rules aren't in place that way.
Looking at the other battles so far, the MacKinnon line obviously has been great in Colorado. They're going to get a heavy dose of Suter tonight, so that'll be an interesting one. The San Jose Sharks absolutely dismantling the Los Angeles Kings through two games. Now, I know that's been a homer series. Not 18 of the last 19 games have been won by the home team, but these weren't close. Like, these were blowouts. I don't see any way LA comes back. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you'd say that with Jonathan Quick in net, you never know, but he's been in net the last few games and got torched pretty good. So that San Jose team is, man, they're firing big time right now, and they're getting lots from everybody. So yeah, I'd say that the way they've lost these games, especially this last one, pretty tough for LA to claw back into that one.
Oh, yeah, no chance. I don't think. What about the Pittsburgh-Columbus series? I know you're out east. You probably see that one a little bit more. What do you think?
Yeah, I haven't been able to watch much of it. We've either been travel days, or I think one of the games was on the same night, wasn't it? In the same time zone. So I haven't been able to see too much of it. Tough to get too deep into that one with you because we're kind of limited. And I mean, we try and catch as many other games as we possibly can. But I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I'm kind of on a little bit of a limb with that one because I haven't seen much.
Well, I would. The one thing about that Columbus series, man, Dubinsky, wow, he has gone. Him and Jack Johnson and Crosby, it's a great matchup to watch, and you'll see it even more tonight in Columbus. Columbus played like they did all season long. They're not an overly skilled team, but, man, they work incredibly hard. And I look at their depth. Like, Pittsburgh clearly has the better top-end talent. But when you get into lines three and four and San Jose is just kind of lunch bucket mentality, it's going to be I think it could go long seven games. I still pick – I'm picking Pittsburgh. But, you know, Columbus, this will be a great learning experience for them. And if Nathan Horton was healthy, they might be able to upset this team. But
it might be different. I think special teams, too. Like, haven't there been shorthanded goals in both games and a whole pile of power play goals? And that's kind of been a special team series, I think, right? There hasn't been much 5-on-5 scoring. So, you get special teams going. I mean, you'd think they're pretty badly outgunned from a special team standpoint. But, we'll see how it goes.
What series, then, that you've watched that you've liked the most?
Well, I think the Colorado-Minnesota stuff has been pretty awesome to watch. That young Colorado group just, I don't know that there's a team that's more exciting right now to tune in and watch. I mean, that's just, Nate MacKinnon is just absolutely blowing the doors off so far. So that one to me is pretty interesting, and especially when you can. I mean, that's decent defense they're facing, and that's one of the better defensemen in the league that they're facing. That he turnstiled the other night. So
Well, that was Spurgeon, though. That was Spurgeon in a turnstile. Spurgeon, I looked at that game. In game one, he made, well, first of all, you know, he makes a bad play on the third goal, on the tying goal. And then prior to that, leading up to it, they won the faceoff cleanly. Colorado has the empty net. And they win the draw to him, and he just flips the puck down the ice. All he had to do was pass it over to his defense partner, who maybe skates it up. They make a pass, whatever. Spurgeon, to me, has looked like a guy who's really overmatched. And I find at times in the playoffs, smaller defensemen, when the intensity really ratchets it up, that's where they can be exposed more than in the regular season.
Yeah, it kind of separates the real deal from the pretenders a little bit. And so it's interesting, this Montreal series, I was interested to see after his best year what Victor Hedman would look like. And it looks like he's rounding into a fairly high-end defenseman in this league. But again, the bullets start flying at playoff speed and the game changes a little bit. And Hedman looks average to below average out there right now. And that's maybe a little bit of what's wrong with this Tampa team, is that guys they relied so heavily on all year long to be above average have been average at best. And that's Hedman, that's Palat, that's Johnson. These are still fairly young players. So, yeah, the playoffs are the great equalizer, right? The pretenders can't hide in the playoffs because the tempo and everything goes up.
Schauger, if Montreal sweeps, where are you going?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. The problem is all the guys who make those decisions were all off for Easter weekend. So I got to, when everybody gets back in the shop tomorrow, I need to find out, because a sweep could potentially mean I'm coming home between the two rounds. I could be sent off to another series at this point. I don't even know. But that's life on the road during the playoffs, man. You just kind of wait and you got to go with the flow and go where you're told.
Oh, it's just like normal life for you, so good for you.
Exactly. I'm being ordered around by somebody all the time.
Exactly. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you later this week.
Okay, pal. Take care.